And thank you for your historic and inspiring leadership. And this will endure because this was indeed remarkable at so many levels. I want to very quickly look at four new initiatives that I have been appointed to and have been invited to. I have been invited to serve on Oxford's Internet Institute, where I will be researching Secretary Antonio Guterres' focus on AI-driven lethal autonomous weapon systems, which he has called morally repugnant if they do not have human control or human oversight. And my work will be looking at AI-driven lethal autonomous weapon systems and its compliance with international law and international humanitarian law in preparation for a 2026 legally binding United Nations instrument to prohibit the lethal autonomous weapon systems that function without human control or oversight. So this will be an advisory paper that will be published by Oxford. Secondly, I have been invited to serve as the vice chair of the International Bar Association's Human Rights Institute. The International Bar Association is the leading organization for international legal practitioners and has a membership of over 80,000 individual leading international lawyers and 190 bar associations. My focus, my own personal focus, will be to include the CEDAW as part of the International Bar Association's mission. I have also been appointed an advisor to His Excellency Philemon Yang, the president of the 79th session of the General Assembly, to serve as an advisor to his Gender Council. This is, as you know, a watershed year. We celebrate the Women, Peace and Security Agenda's anniversary and the Beijing Platform of Action's anniversary. So this will again be an opportunity for me to mainstream the CEDAW, not only in the President's agenda, but across the General Assembly, as is his mission. I also wanted to share with you the fact that this is something I have been working on in the last 2 years, no, over the last 2 years, is a case book on global gender justice, which looks at how the CEDAW has been analyzed in national courts around the world. So far, I have gathered a database of over 500 cases, and this is now to be published by the Oxford Press. And this analysis, based on normative theory and practical impact, will be very useful because this is the first time where we've gathered a database of the ways in which CEDAW is being used around the world by national courts. Apart from these four highlights, I have, because of the invitation given to me by Mr. Elgun Safarov on behalf of Baku and the COP29's presidency, I had the honor of moderating the gender and climate session. And this was also supported by my university, my travel, and my lodging. So I'm grateful to both Mr. Elgun Safarov and my university for making this possible. I also served on a fireside conversation on feminist diplomacy with the first woman president of Sri Lanka, Her Excellency Chandrika Kumaratunga. At the invitation of Austria, I served on a panel discussion on reparations and survivor-centric justice. And again, at the invitation of Spain, I have served on the high-level group on Afghanistan in Geneva, which was highlighted by the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights and the High Commissioner for Human Rights. I also served as a member of the Academic Advisory Group on Gender Policy to the ICC. And my focus and my role was how to include GR30 and the Women, Peace and Security to the ICC's work. Thank you.